And I had the whole plan in my mind that we were going to Culver's afterwards to get a shake. It is completely antithetical to everything Brady has stood for. I don't like sour cream. This guy is not dead. And if I'm hiring a helicopter, I want to be dropped in and a free cannoli. I can't be a slob.
Bill Curry Ford presents the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Bill Curry Ford on Dale Mabry Highway, 61 plus years of family tradition. BillCurryFord.com. Big Storm Beer, that's the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Big Storm Beer, brewed locally, great tap rooms, great food. BigStormBrewery.com. Find the beer near you and your local tap room. And Florida's Elite Restoration, that's your first phone call anytime you have a disaster in your home or your business. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Mold, fire, wind, storm damage. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Buccaneers fans, here he is late on a Saturday night, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, number two of this week, Sage. We're squeaking it in under the wire, but it was a good time with the preseason game tonight and the Bucs resting 29 starters. Well, you know, you don't even have 29 starters. They're resting 29 players. Of course, plenty to talk about after we've had time to digest all the stuff and for the Sage to snoop around and me and Lee to snoop around on this Tom Brady bizarre situation. We're excited to hit the podcast here and, of course, to hear about your birthday. The Sage turning 33 years old on Thursday. We got to hear what you did at night, Ira, but not in the bedroom, just, you know, at the dinner table, that kind of thing. It's all the fun presented by Bill Curry Ford. Tampa's first family of Ford is Bill Curry Ford. That means Sean Sullivan, he's the general manager. He'll help you personally. He'll give you the Ira Kaufman discount. He has set it up on BillCurryFord.com where it is easy as anything ever to order a brand new vehicle. No deposit. Sean's going to give you $500 in gift cards just to do it. It's so easy. You'll get a concierge helper, a whole assistance service if you need it. Otherwise, if you don't want a new vehicle, just shop online for their pre-owned. They are the home of the nationwide lifetime warranty for new and used vehicles. Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. We'll talk more about later about Florida's Elite Restoration, FloridasElitereStoration.com, and the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast, Big Storm Beer. I've got the dates, Ira, of your road journey. We're going to be doing one a month, September, October, November, December, January. The Sage will be watching Bucks road games and schedules coming out this week at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater and probably Ybor when that opens, and then a trip up to Newport Richie. But Ira, how are you?
It is so good to be back with you gentlemen after this Bucks preseason opener. Lee, I don't feel a day over 39, not a day over 39. And hey, I got to clarify something. This goes to how powerful you guys are when you put something out. Lizbitz put out some kind of picture, and maybe there was a caption under there that says, Ira's, you know, been doing this for 83 years. And what do I see, the Kemper? What do I see? I see 20 comments that they believe I'm 83. What the hell's going on here, the Kemper? We got to straighten this thing out. I'm in my late 60s. We don't need to get into any details. I had a hell of a birthday. My wife got me a shirt, a bathing suit. A pair of shorts. I now have three shirts like Tony Soprano. Lee, I know you didn't watch The Sopranos necessarily.
No. I love The Sopranos.
Well, I got three shirts that Tony Soprano, James Gandolfini, would have been proud to wear. Wore them Thursday night to an Italian restaurant. Had my chicken parm. Now, the first thing I did, and this will surprise no one out there that is listening and knows me through this podcast. First thing I do when we walk in a restaurant, Lee, I go right up to the hostess. Hey, it's my birthday. I'm spending my birthday with you guys. Why do I do that? Well, at the end of the night, Lee, I get a limoncello shot and a free cannoli. I ain't no dummy. And I had the whole plan in my mind that we were going to Culver's afterwards to get a shake. And when the cannoli showed up, Bizbitz, I mean, I can't be a slob. We ditched Culver's and we devoured the cannoli. It was a very nice birthday. Spent the day out there at the Bucks with Lee DeKemper. So I'm feeling good. Then I watched the Bucks game tonight, gentlemen. We will get into it. But I will start it by saying this. I give them a solid B tonight. They lost the game, but I thought they played pretty well. And, Steve, I guess you got something else on your mind that's been in the Buck news a little bit recently.
Well, first off, Culver's is great, but you can't beat a good cannoli. So that was a smart move. If you had a classic Tony Soprano shirt, when you walked into this restaurant, did someone ask why you're wearing the tablecloth?
They wanted to know if I wanted two drink tickets at the bottom bank. But it was a very nice birthday. But, Steve, you can't be putting this stuff out that I'm 83 because, Steve, people believe you. They absolutely believe you.
Well, I mean, it seems so over the top. I don't understand how anyone would believe it, Ira. I mean, you don't look a day over 73, so, I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. Yeah. You gave the Bucks a B for tonight. I'm going to turn that B into Tom Brady. I want to clear the floor because you have not addressed, we have not addressed the Brady absence, this sabbatical vacation, 10 days off at minimum. We're told from Ian Rappaport that it's work-life balance time. And then at the same time, we hear that Devin White's praying for Tom Brady and that he has, quote, problems. The message is not clear. I've heard some things, but we want to know what you think, Ira, of all of this. It's very important.
The first thing I think, Lee, is that it is not a non-story. It is not a non-story. Everybody around One Buck Place is circling the wagons. Buck fans, a lot of them. Who cares about this? He's going to be back for Dallas. Nobody's going to be looking back at what happened in mid-August. He doesn't need to scrimmage against the Titans. Well, a lot of that is true, Lee. A lot of that is true. But here's what's also true, Mr. DeKemper. When asked point blank whether he was 100% sure Brady would be under center September 9th, Todd Bowles did not say absolutely. He didn't say that, Lee. And the fact that he didn't say that and left a crack, and I don't care how thin that crack is, that Brady may not be the Bucs starting quarterback in week one is kind of shocking. And that's why it is not a non-story. Lee, this is absolutely atypical and out of bounds for anything else that Brady's ever done in his professional career. Has he earned the right to do it? Yeah, you could say that. Does he need to scrimmage the Titans? Absolutely not. However, Lee, this is a guy who's always all in and demands that from his teammates. It's a big part of his success, 100% focused. Lee, who does this? Who does this in the middle of training camp? I think it's kind of unprecedented in terms of a mystery surrounding it. Bowles says he's excused. Bowles says that it was worked out before training camp. So, Lee, I don't like to speculate that much when other people could be involved, but the first thing you thought of was the health of his parents. But if it was kind of worked out, you know, Lee, in mid-July, that this is the time he's going to be away, you know, that kind of belies the health of his parents' angle. So I'm waiting for the chips to fall. But, Lee, for anybody to say that there's nothing to this, I think there could be something to this.
I respect the guy's privacy if it literally is a family issue. It's been reported that it's not the case, that everybody's health is good. If what very well could be the case, you know, he said on Howard Stern's show a couple years ago, shortly after he signed with the Bucks, that he quit going to OTAs with the Patriots because his wife put down the ultimatum. You go back to OTAs, we're getting a divorce. Okay. I think, no evidence, just whatever crumbs that are out there, I'm connecting, you know, very, very flimsy dots here. I saw the clip tonight of Todd Bowles, the video of him talking about this. He said they worked this out well before training camp. What's well before? I have a hunch this was part of the carrot that Light and Arians negotiated with Brady to lure him back out of retirement with the Bucks. It's like, hey, man, you don't need full training camp. We know, you know, you're concerned about your family. You only need a couple weeks of training camp. We know how you are. We know your work ethic. You pick the 2 weeks you want to play or practice. You pick the game you want to play in, if you want to play in any game. And then you can go back home, do whatever you have to do with your wife to pacify her, bring the kids to school as soon as school opens, whatever. But we need you back here. Steve, he just had 6 weeks off, Steve. He had 6 weeks off. He could have done whatever he wanted.
I don't want to hear that nonsense, school. Come on.
Yeah, it sort of makes sense, Ira, but if your wife is threatening a divorce and she's like, okay, take off half of training camp, you know, what are you going to do? At the end of the day, you know what? If that guy's suited up, ready to go week one, I don't give a damn. As long as he shows up week one, I'm good. Right now, this is just kind of, you know, it's half scary and the other half is fun trying to figure out what's going on.
Ira, do you believe that this was set up before camp?
Oh, I hate to think Bowles did a bald-faced lie to all of us the other day. I mean, he said it and he didn't hesitate. So I'm not going to call Bowles a liar, Steve, until I know more. And Steve, let me throw this out there.
All right, let me give you some more detail there, Ira. There's some shades of gray here. Do you think a 10-day, 10-plus-day vacation for Tom Brady, which this is what it is, it's a vacation, was engineered before training camp? Or do you think that maybe they just said before camp, Tom maybe came to him and said, I'm going to take some time off in camp. I don't know when. We'll see how it goes. You know, I don't feel like making the trip to Tennessee. I don't know if it'll be some more days, but I'm going to take a little time off. And they said, yeah, sure, whatever you need, Tom. Do you think it was more like something like that? And this longer sabbatical is a surprise.
Steve, if he wanted 10 days off in the middle of training camp, that is so out of bounds for Tom Brady. It is completely antithetical to everything Brady has stood for two decades.
Ira,
a football player.
It's the equivalent of you eating Brussels sprouts and steamed carrots for a week.
Steve, you know I'm right about this. I mean, if you're going to make the commitment, you know, after the 40-day window of retirement, that you're coming back, you got to be all in, Steve. I'm sorry. You got 90 other players that are looking at you. Yeah, you're Tom Brady. You're the GOAT. But, Steve, you're working behind three new starters on the offensive line. You're trying to break in a couple of rookie tight ends. You got Gage and Jones as new receivers until Godwin comes back. There's work to be done, Steve. And the fact that you were there for, you know, 10 practice sessions, to me, doesn't answer all the questions of what the heck is Tom Brady up to right now. And let me throw this out there. This is something that Lee DeKemper is going to wince at. He doesn't care about it, but I do. Steve, he's talked once during training camp. Once. And zero times after Roger Goodell's statements about Stephen Ross and the Dolphins situation. He has not addressed that. And when he comes back, I don't think he'll address it because we'll be close to the start of the season, and he'll say, I'm looking ahead, and nobody will be able to say anything about it. And Steve, I'll set you up with this one. When we do get Brady again, which might not be until the week of the Dallas opener, I don't think he'll address where the hell he's been for 10 days in August. I don't think he'll talk about it.
No, he won't.
Ira, what's the number one thing that Tom Brady, through his career, has done everything he can to cover up? That's injury. All through 2020, he hit his knee injury. Previously, we've heard the stories, people who've read the books and stuff. You know, he had that nearly ripped his thumb off his hand, covered that up and played into the Super Bowl that season. And the guy covers up injuries. That's what he does because he doesn't like to have a crack in his armor. And he's very tight-lipped about it. And, of course, he's got a lot on the line when it comes to billing himself as the bionic man and his fitness theories and everything else. Nobody's going to take anything away from Brady, but perception is perception. My guess is that there's something up with him physically. Maybe he's decided that his arm doesn't need that many reps, and his arm's going to get tired or something like that, and he doesn't want to stand around at practice, would rather take the time off if he's not going to be throwing. And he doesn't want to answer the questions about his arm if he's standing there and not practicing, taking time off. I don't know, Ira, but I will say, I'll put it out right here, that I think there's a very good chance you're going to hear from some high-level sources soon. Speculation, maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but they will be reporting Brady's got some sort of elbow thing going on and that he wants the rest. And that's really the genesis of this. It's not going to come from me because I don't think I'm going to be able to confirm it, but I think that's going to come out soon, Ira. I do.
Steve, are you suggesting this is something that happened during training camp or he came into training camp with it?
I have no idea. It could be something as simple as he created a new regimen for himself and realized that he's going to has to limit his arm reps or something. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's something he tweaked and early and decided, you know what, I'm better off taking a break and then coming back. I don't know. That's something that I'm hearing. There's some chatter out there about an elbow issue. Doesn't mean it's an injury, but it could be related to, hey, I don't want to overthrow in the summer.
If there is a health concern regarding Brady, that could explain why Bowles left the door open that Brady wouldn't be ready for week one. That makes a little sense, Lee.
Oh, yeah, sure. And this would just pretty much back up what we all in the back of our minds feared. When would Father Time come tap on his shoulder?
I think Steve's suggesting that, it might be a case of where Brady thinks he's only got a certain number of throws in his arm. Lee, that's scary because last year he threw over 700 passes, Lee. And say what you want about Bowles. He's not going to interfere too much with Byron Leftwich, Lee. And as long as Brady's under center, I don't think the Bucs are going to be transformed into the Tennessee Titans and running the ball 52% of the time, Lee. That's not going to happen.
No, nor should it. So I'm not really arguing, but I've been strongly suggesting with the receivers they have, and I know there's no Gronk, but with the receivers they have, why not go four wide? Why not? Dirk Cutter was just talking the other day about how insane the top four wide receivers are. And oh, by the way, the top four wide receivers all have a direct connection to Dirk Cutter. So I thought that his comments were very interesting about, how good Gage is and why he's good and Julio's talents. This could be just equally as scary of an offense, provided Brady didn't have an injury, as it was last year without Gronk.
Lee, that's an interesting scenario. However, Steve, you go four wide, you got a back, you got a quarterback. It all depends on whether the offensive line can hold the fort, Steve, because, Steve, you had the pleasure of reading my column today. Look, Pat Kerwin looked me in the eye the other day out of Buck training camp. Pat Kerwin's been around football a long, long time and said, if I'm playing the Bucs, I'm blitzing the hell out of Brady. I'm doing it. Now, we got to say up front, Brady's been very, very successful about thwarting the blitz his entire career. But I understand Pat's point. They will try it, and we'll see if the Bucs are stout, especially on the interior of the offensive line. I understand Lee wants to utilize those receivers, but if things don't work out, Steve, I think that Leftwich priority one is protecting Brady, and you got to keep an extra tight end on the field to do so. I think that's what he's going to do.
Let me just clarify. I mean, the Bucs went plenty of four wide last year with Gronk as a fifth. It's in the playbook for sure. Plenty of empty sets were part of Arian's pedigree right. Going back, and Brady likes that stuff. They did it in New England. So, but yeah, I mean, your best bet, I think, is to put the best players on the field. Everybody always says that, and that's reality. And if it is those four healthy receivers, I mean, nobody's going to be able to cover them. So why not?
I want to go back to something because it just hit me in the head. Do you guys remember last year? I can't remember what game it was. It was a day game. It was at, it was a blowout, and they took Brady out of the game, put Gabbard in. And on the bench, Brady was soaking his elbow in ice water, in a bucket of ice water.
I don't know that I remember that specifically, Lee.
Not only do I remember it, I took a picture, did a screenshot, and I used that photo.
I remember it, Lee. I know Brady had some elbow issues with the Patriots. My guess, and I'm just guessing, is that soaking his elbow after every game might be part of his routine.
It could be.
10 minutes of ice in the elbow and go from there. So I don't know. I can't say that's out of the ordinary. I'm just telling you what I heard, Ira, and I think logic says health is what's going on here with Brady, not 10 days with the family when, he can see them anytime and he saw them all off season and he just had 6 weeks off. So who knows? But we're going to find out soon enough, Sage. A couple of things, though, Ira, I want to throw past you as we...
Steve, I'll say this. The angle you just brought up, to me, makes a lot more sense and is more logical than Brady told Giselle, hey, we'll go on a cruise in mid-August for 10 days. I'm not buying that one.
It is a little wacky, you know, but what it is a little strange to me is the way this was handled, Ira. It's a complete mess. Brady himself could have put something on social media, you know, pulled the plug on this whole thing as far as speculation. The Bucks could have sat down and said, you know, let's just say at the beginning of training camp that Tom's going to take a little time off, prearranged. We got it all mapped out, and he's going to take a little time off around the Tennessee game, and nobody would have said boo about it. But the players really seem to be in the dark, and that's what I wanted to ask you and Lee, because you were there this week. Did you get any sense on Thursday that the Bucks players had a clue that Brady was leaving?
I think they were flat-footed, Lee. What'd you think?
I didn't get any impression from them that they knew this was coming, number one. Number two, the players I talked to, they didn't really want to talk to me. Godwin, even. I was talking to Godwin initially. He said, yeah, I'll talk. I got to do something, but I'll talk. And then when I came back to him later, he's like, no, I'm going to be made available to the media later. I'll just talk then. And I don't ever remember Godwin doing that. However, and Steve was the first person to bring this up, Devin White. Well, maybe the Bucks are praying that elbow is okay.
That's right. You're right.
And Devin White didn't even correct his remarks on Twitter, saying, oh, I misspoke when I said Brady had personal problems. The whole thing's weird, Ira.
Yeah. Steve, one more great line about this subject from Jason Light, who always likes to put a smiley face on, and he's had a lot to smile about the last 2 years. Lee, the quote was, this is the least of our concerns. You know what the least of his concerns are, Lee? Tristan Wirfs. That's the least of his concerns. This is not the least of his concerns. When Todd Bowles leaves the door open that Brady won't be there for the opener against Dallas, that can't be the least of your concerns.
Well, the great Mike Florio, I was listening to his podcast, and he had Shireen Williams on there, and Mike repeated his famous line that I love so much. Silence invites speculation.
The Bucks weren't silent, but they didn't shed a lot of light. Right, Steve?
You know, you mentioned Pat Kerwin, the former Jets executive, Jets linebackers coach, Buccaneers scout, host on SiriusXM NFL Radio. During their training camp tour stop, they were actually in Tampa for 2 days, which is rare. They spent 2 days instead of one. But they didn't mention you by name, but I knew exactly they were talking about, hey, we were talking for a while with one of the real on-site longtime guys covering the Bucks, and he was repeating a lot of the themes that you've thrown on the podcast, concern about the pass rush. It was funny because he didn't name you. I was listening. I'm like, that's Ira. They're talking about Ira, and you mentioned
That's outstanding.
You just mentioned talking to him. But Kerwin believes, and I've heard this elsewhere, Brady stepping away for a while is a good thing, that the Bucks will learn quickly and the team will be tested. Someone's going to have to step up, and the leadership vacuum is going to have to be filled immediately. And it's a test for Bowles, and it's also just a test for the locker room. And, you know, I guess there's a chance that the Bucks choreographed this so the players didn't know, so they'd be sort of tested by Brady walking away and, okay, how are we going to handle this? And, you know, who's going to show some leadership here? And because we do hear over and over, including Jason Light and his smiley face, that Tom Brady raises all boats, makes everybody better. You know, is constantly teaching everybody, is raising the standard. And so it's only fair to think that if he steps away for 10 days, that takes a step back unless someone else is ready to fix that.
That is one hell of a convoluted theory. Lee, are we really concerned about life after Brady in mid-August of 2022? Is that what we're worried about?
Well, I tell you what, there better be some movers and shakers at One Buck Palace. They better be.
Well, Lee, my focus and your focus and the Buck focus is on this fall and winning the Lombardi Trophy. And giving Blaine Gabbert some extra reps, I don't see that as a major plus out of this whole question.
Well, I have to be fair. Gabbert, the first week, Gabbert looked like Gabbert. The second week of practice, him and Trask were separating. Trask was going downhill. Gabbert was going uphill. This past week, Gabbert looked like a quarterback. So extra snaps or whatever, You know, Gabbert doesn't look that shabby, honest to goodness. And I know Blaine Gabbert, it's only practice, I get it. But if I'm not going to use practice as a guide to help me learn these players, then what the hell am I even going out there for? So
he threw some good balls tonight, too. He
didn't look shabby tonight. You know, he looked better than the normal Gabbert.
Well, they're looking ahead. That's their only job.
And you know, pulling players off the scrap heap to fill a void here or there.
Absolutely. Hey, Sage, before we get to tonight's game, I just wanted to mention that Shaq Barrett just had an interesting comment since you mentioned Tristan Wirfs. He said on radio that he was really happy to see the Dolphins and he needed the joint practice because this year they're parking him on the left side and he's almost exclusively facing Tristan Wirfs. And he said, so many of my moves just, they don't work against Wirfs and they're futile and they make no sense against Wirfs because they're just never going to work. So he really needed, to go against, some other bodies to work on his moves and to get his mojo going, and by all reports, he had a couple of sacks and a really strong practice against Miami. So I thought that was kind of fun.
Those are sage remarks from Shaq Barrett, Lee, because and Lee, you and I have done it a lot. We've watched Wirfs in person. We've watched him on television on road games. It's like looking at a work of art, Lee. I mean, he's that good. He's that damn good.
Oh my gosh. I'll tell you this, and it gets kind of technical, and I'm sorry to bore you by saying this, but it really blew my mind. It really opened my eyes just how athletic he is. And they were running a drill, the Dolphins and the Bucks, they were running a drill that I heard A.Q. Shipley later say is an embarrassment to run in practice because it makes offensive linemen look horrible. Well, it was a one-on-one. Defensive lineman versus offensive lineman. Wirfs was the Bucks' offensive lineman. And they had a guy standing behind Wirfs who was, you know, quote-unquote the quarterback. He just stood there like a tackling dummy. And the ball was snapped. This guy for the Dolphins, I can't remember the name, he blew past Wirfs. I mean, boom! Well, right away, that got my attention. Like, oh, my gosh, Wirfs got burned this bad? But the guy ran past Wirfs, and in a blink of an eye, quicker than I've ever seen a human being that big move, in a blink of an eye, almost like he didn't, like it was a reaction, not even a thought, Wirfs ran with he turned around, ran to the quote-unquote quarterback, got his back up against the quarterback, and in doing so, got between the quarterback and his guy who blew past him. Play was over. Guy had no chance after that. The recovery, he took like two or three steps. The recovery that Wirfs took on that play was so damn quick. I mean, it blew my mind. I'm like, oh, now I know why this guy's so damn good. So athletic and so quick. It freaked me out.
That's like you with Golden Corral over there, DeKemper. The blink of an eye. Boom, yep. You're gone.
Ira, look, just want to put
my back to the fried chicken. Nobody else gets to it.
Sage, September 18th, 1 o'clock game, Buccaneers at the Saints. That's when everybody can get their first taste of the Sage at Big Storm Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. Week two.
Nice.
Just looking ahead after that, Ira, there's going to be one in October. But the Germany game, we're talking a special breakfast event at Big Storm with some special menu items named after the Sage himself.
I can't even imagine, Steve.
They're going to have like German theme. They're going to have schnitzel. They're going to have potato pancakes. What?
Well, they're going to have Blood Brothers. Bloody Marys will be flowing. Some Bromosa. And the chef there loves breakfast. And we've got a couple of ideas to name some items after the Sage. Maybe an Ira Kaufman omelet. Those types of things. So
I don't care how big that menu is. I'm trying everything on that sheet.
I'm willing to lay money you've had a potato pancake here or there in your lifetime.
I think I had one tonight, Lee. I had some had some German food and a potato pancake. And you got to have applesauce, Lee. You must
applesauce
have applesauce
and sour cream for the potato pancake.
I don't like sour cream, but I had applesauce.
But applesauce is a must, yes.
It's a must.
All right, Ira.
All right, Steve, what do you got now, Stevie? What do you got?
Preseason football Game one.
There we go.
But first, Ira, you can collect your thoughts. I got a couple for you. But first, Florida's Elite Restoration, that's the first phone call. Anytime you have storm damage at your home, flood, fire, mold, whatever it is, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. That's where you can find all their information. They're there for you 24/7. They'll come out, they'll give you a free assessment. And when you're getting that free assessment, if you mention, hey, I found you through the Ira Kaufman podcast or Joe Bucks fan, they're going to give you $500 off if you need their services. It doesn't get any better than that. You got to mention before you set everything up. You can't call them a month later. Hey, I heard you on Ira. No, you got to set it up then. But Florida's Elite Restoration, family owned, just like Bill Curry Ford, a Tampa tradition. Florida's Elite Restoration, they're a great local company. They cover the entire Bay Area and a little bit beyond. And they're going to be there for you in your time of need, someone you can trust. Owner Josh Martin, 14 years he spent as an insurance adjuster. So he knows the other side of the business and how the insurance companies try to get you and rip you off and things like that. He's fantastic. Keep them in mind when that time comes. Florida's Elite Restoration, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. All right, Ira, look, you watched that game. 29 of the Bucks' top players not playing. Kyle Trask winging the ball all over the place, racking up some strong numbers. Blaine Gabbert going 5 for 5. Tyler Johnson looking like, I was so glad fans got to see what we've seen in training camp, which is a guy who looks fit and sharp and ready for week one. You know, maybe some questions were answered on the offensive line. I don't think so. Anthony Nelson gets a sack. The kicker battle had quite a, I think it might be over right now. But your thoughts, Ira, your thoughts.
I said I'd give the Bucks a B. I'm sticking with it. Lee, I thought they were a better team. They lost the turnover battle 2-0. I think that ultimately decided the contest, along with the missed field goal at the end. Steve's been on a Tyler Johnson bandwagon for about a month now, so he's feeling proud. Tyler Johnson looked good. Yards after the catch looked good. Darden Lee has had a very good camp. We've slapped that guy around because he did very little as a rookie. He looks like he's making a step up. The quarterbacks played well. Gabbert was 5 for 5. I mean, what are you going to say? Trask showed some nice poise. He can't move, Lee. And, he's got a slow delivery. And ultimately, when the bullets fly, you know, that could be decisive. We'll see. He could be a Mike Glennon. He could be in this league for 10 years as a backup. Could be. But he did some nice things tonight. Neither team ran the ball well. It was not a good night for Keyshawn Vaughn. I think he averaged about a yard or two a carry. One of the highlights, Lee, and you and I talked about it, you know, Rondé put young Mr. White, the running back, in the same sentence as Eric Dickerson. Yes, he did, Lee. Yes, he did.
Oh, yeah.
And Alvin Kamara, I think he threw in there, too.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about Kamara, yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't hear that, but I heard it within two sentences. He compared him to Le'Veon Bell, which for whatever reason kept calling him Connor, and Eric Dickerson. I'm like, slow down, dude. I like Ronnie. Don't get me wrong, but that had to be his worst broadcast. He was so over the top, absolutely over the top with everything.
First night jitters, perhaps. Two quick points, Lee. One, nobody's going to care who won this game.
No, nobody.
For instance. And I did my research because I got to check my memory, because when you turn 83, and Steve's got me as 83, your memory fades. 2002, Lee. Anybody remember that year? Happened to be a championship season. Steve, they lost their third preseason game of that season 40-10 to the Washington Redskins. They were called the Redskins.
Spurrier, right?
And it was Steve Spurrier's first year at the helm of the Redskins. They lost 40-10. A few months later, they were lifting up the Vince Lombardi. No, but nobody's going to care about the final score of this game. I think Steve is going to be right, Lee. I think Suck Up is going to retain that job. Was that kick decisive? Even if he makes it, I don't think he would have beat out Suck Up. Now, I'm pretty sure he's not going to beat out Suck Up. I don't think they'll go with a rookie kicker and a rookie punter necessarily, Lee. I can't see it for a team with all their chips in. And, Lee, one more guy. And we never talk about this guy, but, you know, I'm looking at the guy. Why don't we talk about him? Lee, this guy, Anthony Nelson, he's not bad, Lee. He's not bad. I looked it up. He played 30% of the snaps last year, 30 defensive snaps. Finished with 5 sacks, had a sack tonight. Lee, somehow, some way, You know, I think he's a fourth round pick a few years back out of Iowa. He gets the job done. This guy is not dead. And if he plays 30% of the snaps again and gets five or six snaps, sacks, that's really contributing big time to the Buck effort.
Yeah, and he'll make some money on the free agent market, too.
Yeah.
But before we get excited about Anthony Nelson, I know Steve likes him. I'm not anti-Anthony Nelson, but he was doing it up against, you know, the little sisters of the poor.
Yeah, but he had a sack in each of the last three regular season games last year.
Like, oh, yeah, I'm not taking that away from him. Look where the Bucks had their money invested. So this is his last year of the Bucks, I would guess.
Say, Joe, let me finish up on Nelson. Yeah. Lee knows I've got a boner for the guy, for lack of a better word. Hey, I talked to Nelson. I haven't written it up yet for the website, but in theory, the Bucks did not try to replace him this offseason. Okay, you gave Trajan Soyinka, a second-year guy, the starting job. He's moving in. He's in good shape. You're excited by him.
Right.
Well, you would think that, okay, if you're going to hand this job to inexperienced Trajan Soyinka, that you'd probably want a veteran backup in there behind him in case he isn't the real deal. And so in a lot of ways, they put a lot of confidence into Nelson by not going out and getting an edge rusher, either in the draft or a free agent to throw in the mix there. I talked to him about that, and he believes, hey, I came on strong. I got five sacks in limited time, and they got a lot of confidence in me, and I appreciate it. And what he did tonight, like Lee said, he's not playing against anybody. Cam Gill got a sack tonight as well and looked sharp. You know, it doesn't mean that much. I think they have a legitimate player there, and it wouldn't shock me if he had another five or six sacks. And well, one thing about Nelson, which is not necessarily the case with other guys, when he gets his hand on somebody, they don't get away.
That's true.
And other guys, they escape me. This guy, Devin White's always just missing guys or whatever. But for some reason on the pass rush, maybe it's the super long arms and he's like 6'7" or whatever. But if Nelson gets within grasp of a guy, he goes down.
And Lee, that's important for a team that doesn't pride itself necessarily on putting guys down on the ground. You know?
Well, when Steve mentioned Devin White, I'll never forget last year. He was so frustrated not being able to get Josh Allen on the ground. He finally just jumped on top of him like it was one of his horses. And Josh Allen rode him for a while, too.
What'd you think of Tress tonight, Lee?
Best he looked all summer. The first week of practice, he looked like he had a shot to maybe push Gabbert. And that second week of practice, and I've said this before, maybe not on your podcast, but I know I've told you this personally, Ira, that second week of training camp practice, Trask looked like he didn't belong anywhere near an NFL practice field. He was so bad. The third week, he started picking it up a little bit. He looked like, okay, he belonged. But after that second week, I honestly could not say he was going to beat out Ryan Griffin. I'm as serious as a heart attack. You know, this guy supposedly is going to be the quarterback next year, you know, in theory. So I want him to do good. You know, it's not like I'm bashing the guy because I want to bash the guy. I want the SOB to be good. So I'm not saying this because I dislike him, hate him, want him run off. No, I'm being freaking honest. And the people on the website, they're bitching about Steve and I about this. How many freaking practices have they seen? Probably none. But we're the assholes. And I got that out of my system. You know, you don't want anybody being honest about Kyle Trask? There's plenty of other sites that will feed you BS that the SOB is the next Steve Young. Trask was the best player tonight, with the exception of Tyler Johnson. Trask had the best outing all summer I saw him. That pass to Jarrett Stearns was absolutely beautiful. The catch, the pass, everything about it. And Stearns actually showed the best he's done all summer. Stearns shows in practice he can get open and he's got gifts, but man, he's dropped so many passes. And the Bucs receiving core is so deep that every little mistake you make is magnified, you know, 15, 20 times. Any other team, for example, Devin Tompkins, I think he would make the team. Personally, I think Devin Tompkins has showed me more than Jalen Darden. But we both know Jalen Darden has very close friends in high places at One Buck Plows. Again, me. No one else is telling me that. That's just me. But Tompkins, I don't think, barring an injury, barring a trade, I don't think he's going to be on the Bucks come September. But, you know, like I said, the Bucks may make a trade, a receiver or two. They may make a trade for an offensive lineman. And then all of a sudden, I believe the door might be open for Tompkins or for Stearns.
Hey, Steve, refresh my memory, Steve. Who threw that long ball to Scotty Miller down the right sidelines that that the defensive back made a nice play on? Who threw that pass?
Kyle Trask underthrew it. If you watch the replay like seven times like I did, you see Scotty Miller slow down, very unfortunate, and yeah, it was underthrown.
The guy did make a nice play, Steve. He did.
He made a nice play, but it was underthrown. I mean, Miller, you know, was a, just one of those plays, and then, you know, that's okay. Yeah, they don't have a ton of practice time necessarily, and certainly game time at full throttle, but that's what happened on that play.
That interception, Steve. You know who throws balls like that? Jameis Winston. That was a Jameis Winston throw.
Sort of, yeah.
But the panic move under duress.
Don't give up, even though he'll kill you. Yeah.
That reminded me very much of Jameis Winston.
Sage, I thought Trask's confidence really grew quite a bit, and that was obvious, and that's a good sign. Maybe he just needs a little bit more time. Maybe he can use this game as a stepping stone, and obviously he's going to get plenty more. You think he's going to progress in these next couple of games, Ira? What do you think?
He impressed me tonight, Steve. Now, let's be honest. It was a notch up from what the Kemper aptly describes as underwear football. There's no starters out there, Steve. There's nobody out there. I mean, where's Tyreek Hill? Get him in the lineup. We want to see him. you know, Trask did some good things out there, Steve. But, you know, you can't deny it. I still think, ultimately, his lack of athleticism and rather a slow release is going to hurt him. He might be able to improve that release. He's got to go through those progressions a little quicker. But, Steve, for one night against a bunch of backups and, you know, to be honest, he had backups on his side of the ball, too. He had a very good night.
All right, Ira, I want to throw this past you before we get the heck out of here and rejoin the fans next week. This one almost disturbed me a little bit. And, you know, you've got insight into the Derek Brooks, Devin White relationship. And this was just a little bizarre, Ira. Devin White was on SiriusXM NFL Radio. And he was talking about his season and what he's working on. And he started talking about how he doesn't want his speed to be a factor. He wants to play more under control and, quote, less speedy. And he thinks sometimes his speed hurts him, that he runs so hard to get to the play and then he's not in control. And you can't slow down necessarily. And he's trying to work on his mental game to make the right fits and not rely on his speed. And I heard that, and I was like, you know, I get what he's saying, but, man, they drafted this guy in part because of his elite speed. That's his strength. And I don't want the guy thinking about playing slower or playing smarter and sacrificing his speed. I don't know what that's going to do for him. And one thing he referenced when he was talking about this, he was talking about wanting to be more like Lavonte David, which, of course, is great. And he said that in 2019, and I think this is something that you should look into, Ira, for the sake of your future Hall of Fame chatter. Devin White said that in 2019, Lavonte David did not miss a tackle the entire season. And that's the goal that White is looking for, and he thinks he has to slow down to do it. What's your thought on all of that?
Well, if Lavonte David didn't miss a tackle during the 2019 season, that's my opening line for his Hall of Fame presentation, DeKemper. That would be extraordinary. I'd have to go back and look at the films. But to Steve's bigger point, Lee, in terms of the things that Devin White's saying, you can't help but feel the very strong influence of Derek Brooks. The very strong influence. Was Derek Brooks as fast as Devin White? Maybe not, Lee, but there ain't that much difference. Derek Brooks was a blur out there. He relied on guile and speed and athleticism more than he did on, you know, being 260. I mean, he was a light linebacker, and he used his quickness and his instincts. And, Lee, everything Devin White's saying, I can hear the voice of Derek Brooks in the background. Now, I understand Steve's point. You got to utilize your speed, but there's a way to do it. And you know what, Lee, for 14 years, Brooks was the master of it. So Derek Brooks is trying to mold Devin White, trying to get him to take better angles. I got no problem with it. There's a way to play with speed and under control, and you look no further than Mr. Derek Brooks. Lee, it's an acknowledgement by Devin White that, I just had an okay season in 2021, and that ain't good enough. And you know what, Lee? It's not good enough.
You were setting me up perfectly to your last point, Ira. It's not like he Pearl Harbored the Bucks last year. Can he play better? Sure. But he was still good. He's still rough against the pass. To Steve's point about going back to Devin White's quote, I know exactly what he's talking about, and I know he's exactly right. I know it from experience. And to back this, to tie this all up, Ira, I will quote one of John Wooden's key principles of basketball defense. And you think, wait a minute, you're talking basketball, this is football. Bill Belichick used to study Bobby Knight's coaching. There's a connection there. Here's John Wooden's famous quote: be quick, but don't be in a hurry.
Yeah, he did say that. Yes, he did.
And that's what Devin White's talking about. Be quick, don't be in a hurry. That was Derek Brooks. Being in a hurry meaning you're running so fast, you're out of control. How many times have we seen Devin White blitz and he overran the quarterback?
Controlled fury, Lee. Controlled fury.
There you go. Exactly.
I'm all for it, guys, but the problem is they don't necessarily have enough practice time at full speed where you can even sort of start to gauge that, Ira. You know, and if it's in White's head, I like the Devin White of 2 years ago. Nobody was saying, hey, this guy needs to slow down a little bit. I'm saying that I think we just need to be realistic about that. In the Super Bowl stretch run and a couple years ago, no one's telling him, oh, he's got to slow down. And if he gets in his head and he doesn't have endless practice time to go full speed and time these things, and he's not playing in preseason, I worry about what that's going to look like early in the year when he's trying to be himself, but be the new Devin White and adjusting to speed and toning himself down. I don't know. I just feel like it's dangerous.
He needs to go get infected with COVID again. Because when he came back from that COVID infection in 2020 in the playoffs, that was his best play of his career so far. Those three games, he was unreal. So whatever the hell he did before that, whatever he was taking to come down off the COVID, or was the COVID, the virus, whatever he was doing, that's what he needs to repeat.
And Steve, remember when I was quoting Charles Davis, who he watches the Bucks very carefully, Davis, and talks about them a lot nationally. And when I asked him about Devin White, Steve, he kind of implied that, you know, the Super Bowl success, it goes to people's heads a little bit. And Devin White was no exception in that regard. And like Lee said, his 2020 postseason was fantastic, off the charts. And maybe it went to his head a little bit, Steve, and it affected his preparation for last season. Look, he's a young player, Steve. He's got his whole future ahead of him. He's got tremendous skills that he brings to the job. Let the game come to you a little bit. And most of all, Steve, listen to Mr. Derek Brooks.
All right, Ira, you opened up a can of worms there, but we'll hit that. There's a couple of things that came up today. We'll hit that on the next podcast, see what Todd Bowles has to say coming out of this game, see if anybody's really injured. Giovanni Bernard left the game with an ankle injury. But Ira, we want to wish you a happy next cannoli. I'm sure you'll get to one in the next 24 hours. Bid the folks farewell, Ira, and what they need to know. There's still a lot of nervous people out there when it comes to Tom Brady, the state of this team. Although there's a ton of optimism, you know, the ground was shaking a little bit with Brady stepping aside temporarily.
All right, Steve, I'll say this. I got my work cut out for me tomorrow, because I'm going to spend the entire day going over the ship manifests of every cruise port in the Mediterranean. If I see the Brady's on a ship, I'm hiring a helicopter. I want to be dropped in and sit at the dinner table with Tom and Giselle. I got a few questions about that dalliance with the Dolphins that I want to ask both of them. And wish me luck, gentlemen.
All right. Yeah, good luck with that. And if you do land at the dinner table, we all know your first question will be, what the hell are we eating? What's this on the plate?
Can I have a potato pancake?